Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Ridge. I'm Rusty. It's level two. The Twisted Tuesday. Countdown of the Sweet 16 is on. Countdown to first pitch is on Major League Baseball. Sort of start with the Dodgers and the Cubs in Tokyo, but everybody starts on Thursday. I don't know why they didn't start today. Would have been a perfect day today, the Tuesday, Wednesday. Nothing going on today. Instead, they're going to start the same day as the Sweet 16. All right, before we get to Paul Bovey's picks on the Knicks and the Clippers and the Sweet 16, do we have the best of X ready to go? I figured Paul would enjoy this. This is an old school reference, actually, on the anniversary of the final show. Let's roll it. The series finale of the George Michael Sports Machine aired 18 years ago, March 25th, 2007. I'm actually, you know, when you see that, I'm actually surprised. I wouldn't have thought it was on for that long after.
Good call.
Right? It kind of lost its luster once the internet, you know, took over. Yeah. But you remember, Paul, the old school George Michael Sports Machine? I know he was a New York DJ, right? He was a New York guy, but he moved to Washington, D.C. And he was a local anchor on the Washington, D.C. Sports Network, one of the local news affiliates. And he had the idea for a sports syndicated show, the highlights on Sunday nights, the Sports Machine. And remember, for people tuning in now, there was no internet, like, you know what I mean, in these days. So, and you got like a couple of games in your local market in the NFL, and you had the score ticker, but you didn't see everything. You didn't see like every highlight and stuff. And I used to love and look forward to it after a winning day on Sunday to kick back and watch the highlights of the money that I made on games. And I love how we used to hit that big fake, like, play machine. Boom, let's go to Washington. Bam, and you hit the machine. And, like, he'd act like it started the tape. Bam, let's go to the machine. Bam, bam.
That was the best. Like, he hit the machines. Yeah. Like, yeah, let's go. Bam. Yeah, it's like he's in an arcade. Oh, people don't. You guys, if you ever seen it, it's like, Brent, you're right. That was, like, legendary stuff. Like, the George Michael Sports Machine, like, was the best. I used to, like, wait for it every Sunday. I love that guy so much.
ESPN kind of did him in. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like I said, he was, like, the highlight show. And then, you know, like, by the time, you know, it was, like, around 2000 or so. So he made it to 2007. What do you remember about the George Michael Sports Machine, Paul?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I transitioned, and I'm going to date myself right now. Do you remember a guy named Jerry Eisenberg, who I believe is actually still alive? And he also had a Sunday night show, and he was fantastic. And then
don't know that show.
Oh God, this is going back. Oh, I'm a few years older than you, Gabe, but it transitioned into George Michael, and I loved the show. I same as you. I used to look forward to it because you didn't have that ready access to the internet, which we all have today. And has certainly given us easy access and leveled the playing field in many ways as gamblers.
Man, people tuning in, younger people now, you guys have no idea. Like, I remember it was like a big deal. Like, that's how Mark Cuban made his money with called Real Sports. And it was basically, it was the internet just came out. I don't know, it was like 2000, 2002, whatever, 2001. and you could get the audio broadcast of either team. And it sounded all computerized and choppy and stuff. And like, but you know what I mean? It was like, wow, you can get any game. But remember in the old days, man, I used to bet on games and just randomly move the AM dial like a little millimeter. I'd be like, oh, good, I got the St. John's game now. Move it a little bit more. And I'd be like, oh, I got the Cubs game. Right? Like, it was amazing, man, in the old days. Hey, guys, like the old transistor, the AM radio with those 50,000-watt stations, how far you'd be able to get it. Pretty crazy.
Your body's of water. Different side of the room. You do the rabbit ears or whatever. And when you're near water, like it's like, oh my God, I'm getting Pittsburgh stuff. You're right, Mretz. You know what? Like I was getting Purdue.
No internet. I remember having money on DePaul and stuff. And I was like, I got the DePaul game and I lost it. I'd be like, I lost it.
I still in the summer.
It would be gone. Like the Art Bell show would just come on out of the blue. And I'd be like, son of a bitch. I'd be like, have to turn it a little bit more. Like, you know what I mean? Or Larry King would come on a little notch, you know what I mean?
By the way, Cuban's company was Broadcast.com, the one you were referring to.
Yeah, Broadcast.com, yeah.
He got bought out by Yahoo, got all stock, and the Yahoo stock eventually crashed. But to protect himself, he actually bought puts on the Yahoo stock. So that's how he actually preserved his fortune. Because if he just held the stock, he would have gotten annihilated just like everybody else in the market right around 2000.
But he was smart to get out when he did. And then turn it into the Mavericks. But listen, we've only got a couple of minutes, Paul. So let's get to the Sweet 16. What catches your eye this week?
Okay, so I do like BYU. And I watched Bama last week, and the Gales were absolutely futile from the field. From 21 of 56, from 3 of 14, they got into the paint, just missed a lot of shots. And in the prior game, Bama allowed Robert Morris 50 points in the paint. Now, this is a team that cumulatively had 98 points in the paint versus the likes of Oakland, Youngstown. So I just think that BYU can get the better of this. I think they're going to score from afar, from inside. So I do like BYU. I do like Purdue, and I do like Ole Miss also, if we got a chance to cover those.
Yeah, so you like Ole Miss, Ole Miss are interesting, aren't they? You know, they've got a coach, you know, in Beard that's been around before. Very good coach. They've got athletes. They play very, very aggressively. This is going to be like a football game on a basketball court, Paul. What do you think about Ole Miss? They're getting 3.5. They're getting respect from the odds maker here.
So, by the way, I mistakenly said Purdue. I like Houston. But as far as Ole Miss goes, they have an excellent defense. I mean, you look at that Iowa State game. They completely shut them down. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a 15-8 Iowa State lead. And then they went on a 20-2 run.
And North Carolina, Paul. They completely shut down North Carolina, from who was lighting it up a couple of games ago against San Diego State.
Exactly. They went on a 50-23 run and a 20-2 run against Iowa State. And don't get fooled. The Cyclones really didn't do much. I mean, offensively, they put up 79 points. But really, it was just garbage time. They had an 11-point lead at halftime. Ole Miss did, and they closed to 7 early on, and from there they just widened the lead eventually to 19-20 points, and it was pretty easy. And you look down the docket, and they've held most of the teams to 60 in the 60s. So that's going to be the key. I think they have the defense to stay with Michigan State, who I'm not overly impressed with. And when you're getting 3.5 points in what I feel is going to be more of a defensive game, those points may come into play. So I do like Ole Miss here. They've played well recently, and that's what this is all about, which teams are heading in the right direction.
And Paul, you said that you like Houston over Purdue. Houston are laying 8. We got about a minute and a half or two here. Oh, we're right at that. What about the Clippers and Knicks? What are you doing with the game tomorrow, Paul? Who do you think wins the game you're going to be at?
The Knicks did log some minutes here tonight, so I'm not going to do anything with the game. I'm just going to go there.
That's like when Pete Rose didn't bet on the Reds. You think the Clippers are going to win?
What are you doing? You weasel. Put some money on the game.
I have a rule. When I go to games, I don't like to bet. I ruin the experience. So, anyway.
It enhances the experience. Thanks, Paul.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Twisted Tuesday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. We're talking football right now with Rick Saratella. And there's so much stuff going on with all these games and stuff. But C.J. Stroud was on a podcast, and his comments are starting to go viral right now because he was talking about Aaron Rodgers, and he was on the $1 million worth of game podcast. And Stroud was asked, would he rather have Eli Manning's career or Aaron Rodgers' career? And without missing a beat, he said Eli Manning because Eli Manning won more. I don't have a problem. I don't really see, you know, there's nothing controversial about that. But then, you know, he started talking about Matthew Stafford. And he said if Matthew Stafford had the same weapons and the same defense and the same good teams that Aaron Rodgers had, he would have won more than one Super Bowl. Agree or disagree with that, Rick?
Well, you know.
Which is a great place to be. Are you in the locker room? Are you giving like the any given Sunday inches Al Pacino speech? Are we there yet?
Oh yeah, I think we've been there. I definitely we're gonna have a long talk with Rob today about the 99 1992 from last week. Like I just don't get how he is still employed. We gotta talk to ownership about that one.
The Smiley Show only on Sports Grid.
Also showing a little bit more propensity to take the pull-up jumper, which I think is important for them. Aiden Holloway's been better. Trent Nelson's getting staying out of foul trouble. Kalefa Mori is attacking the offensive boards and being the defensive threat that they need. If Alabama can defend and they make a run and they win the SEC tournament, I think they're the fourth number one seed.
Betting above the rim, only on Sports Grid.
That is also value to be the best player on the best team. To me, it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. There is no doubt about it.
The Nuggets probably going to finish, what, second overall in the conference here, and it's not going to get a Kindy MVP. We'll see how it is down the stretch, and I assume this is going to tighten up. But barring a huge drop-off for OKC as a team, not just SGA, you could probably pencil him in for 30 a night.
The Early Line, only on Sports Grid. The game is on. The stakes are high. But the action isn't just on the field.
This is rearranging that rim. Get it inside!
Sports Grid's in-game live. Your ultimate second screen experience.
Just a little flyer, a couple of
18.5 points live line.
Every prop, every.
That overtime period against Canada, like we saw him do, it must be serious out there. And of course, Brady Tkachuk, not a doctor, but you've got to wonder the status of Matthew Tkachuk and what we're going to find out.
It just seems like an absolute no-brainer. If Shedeur Sanders is there with the third pick, if Shane and Dable didn't take him, then I really would fire them at this point, right? I would have already fired them already, Rick, to be honest, after the Saquon stuff, like, they would have been done. But I'm just stating, I mean, you know, it goes from you guys dying to get a new quarterback. You have a chance to get a new quarterback. So as far as the second pick overall right now, as you stated, Abdul Carter's the favorite, Rick, at minus 125. Shedeur Sanders is plus 150. Travis Hunter is 8-1. Can the Cleveland Browns surprise us all and take Travis Hunter?
Well, I don't think it's out of the question, right? And I think Abdul Carter, we still got to answer whether or not he's going to work out at his pro day later this week with that foot injury, because that would be another storyline that develops if Abdul Carter decides to sit out the pro day due to the foot injury. Does that throw a monkey wrench into the equation? I mean, Travis Hunter, to me, is the best player, so I think he's got to be in play for the Browns at number two. I will say this. I think Shedeur Sanders and the New York Giants are a match made in heaven. They need each other. The big market for Shedeur, the quarterback for the Giants. And, like, who can blame Coach Prime? Like, if you look at the Cleveland Browns track record since they have been reincepted to the NFL in 1999. Remember Tim Couch? Well, yeah, they've drafted five quarterbacks in the first round since then. And so it's been a first round purgatory for any quarterback that goes to Cleveland. Yeah, they want the big media market. Yeah, they want to be in the spotlight. And how many primetime games would the Giants have of Shedeur Sanders with and Mara? You know, he talked about the jersey sales. Oh, it was Saquon Barkley, our most popular player. I mean, Shedeur to the Giants just makes too much sense.
You're exactly right. And that's the thing. Like, I remember being in stores in Manhattan, and I mean, like, the Jets are still selling Joe Namath jerseys. They don't have anybody to sell. You know what I'm saying? It's like, there's more Joe Namath. Like, there's some Revis jerseys, but you know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, the Giants, what are you going to do? You sell Lawrence Taylor jerseys still? Like, you know what I mean? At this point, it does seem like a perfect fit for them. All right, I want to get to UNLV and just show them a little bit of love, because it's the first time ever, Rick, in the history of UNLV's pro day that they had every NFL team there. The player that people most talked about, like their supposed best player when they were coming up, and it was Ricky White, their wide receiver. But I know a lot of people seem to like Jackson Woodward, the linebacker. They have a couple of DBs that might sneak in the back door in the later rounds as well, but what's your take on Ricky White? I know that his speed has less than impressed people over the last couple of months.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's not elite speed. It's 4.54. It was what I think we had him guesstimated in. He was not, I don't think, a combine invite. So I guess that's why the teams are out there with, and kudos to Barry Odom for what he did with that program. You know, I know I have to.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're kicking it. Man, we're on the clock here tonight. Time always flies when we talk football with Rick. I can't wait for the sports books to start posting, like, you know, over under draft position and all the draft props. I guess they're waiting for the end of March Madness right now. We got baseball starting this week. But, you know, we got our eye on the draft year round. That's why you got to get the NFL Draft Bible, and Rick is putting it together. So follow Rick Saratella. Go to allaccessfootball.com as well. Rick, I am fascinated by the teams to draft the player props. Team to draft Ashton Jeanty, Raiders +140. Bears +150, Cowboys 6-1. If you had to place a wager, where you say that Ashton Jeanty ends up?
I'm going to go Cowboys, Gabe. You know, as much as the running back is making a comeback, the Raiders have so many other needs. The Bears make a lot of sense. I don't know if they'll pull the trigger that early, but man, the Cowboys need a running back. And man, JJ loves star power. And boy, Jeanty would truly be the best running back they've had since Emmitt Smith. So to me, it is more than past due time to get Dak Prescott a running back to alleviate some of the pressure off of that man's back. Whether or not he can carry the weight, that's a whole nother story, but they need to help that guy out. And Ashton Jeanty could do just that.
And whether or not Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones do the right thing is another question as well that we've seen in the past. That's a gamble. All right, I want to get to Travis, Travis Hunter. I know you're in love with him. The Patriots are +100 to draft Travis Hunter. Okay, fine, but that's assuming that he lasts to the fourth pick in a National Football League draft. I'm not so sure that he does. The New York Giants are unpredictable. I don't know. Who knows what the Giants are doing? Like, you know what I mean? They're courting Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? So at this point, you know, me and Rick talked about the Shedeur Sanders stuff. Seems to make perfect sense. The Cleveland Browns, though, at +425, and they still have Deshaun Watson. They haven't officially gotten rid of him. They guaranteed him his contract. He says he's going to be ready to go. I saw him posting videos of working out and stuff like that. I'm not stating that I believe in him. I'm just stating facts that it's, you know, are they going to draft a quarterback, Cleveland? Is it crazy? Like Travis Hunter +425 to go to the Browns. It's not a bad bet considering the odds.
Yeah, you know, They asked Myles Garrett if he was happy with the strategy in place for the draft and what direction they're going. Now, he did share that they told them what their intention is. And I got to give Cleveland some kudos here because it's been locked. I mean, it's been like tight lid lockdown out of Cleveland.
That's a good point. We've heard nothing.
I can't even get a heartbeat. I can't get a pulse. What's going on?
The only thing I've ever heard about Cleveland is that they're not scared of drafting Shedeur Sanders, that he doesn't want to be in Cleveland. That's the only thing I've ever heard, that they're not scared of him not wanting to play there. But that doesn't mean they're going to take him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could, and they have so many needs. Like, they need everything, right? They need a wide receiver. They need a cornerback.
What do you think, Rick, of the Abdul Carter talk there that, oh, they pair him with Garrett, and then you really have a 1-2 dynamic to can terrorize offensive lines. Do you buy, you know, is that a smart move? Do you buy into that? Forget about his ankle stuff. Let's just say he's healthy. Would you pair, if you're the Browns, do you use that pick to, like, bolster your D-line? Would you just give freaking Garrett $40 million a year?
Yeah, I mean, if Travis Hunter's off the board, why not? You just have a pair of bookend quarterback terrors. Just go sack the quarterback. I mean, I can understand the logic, but what I don't understand is, like, who's your identity? Are you in with Watson or are you out? Like, I get a sense I'm outside of the building. I get a sense they can't wait for this guy to be out of the building. Maybe I'm wrong, but like if it was me, I would want to start fresh at this point. Like, yo, I'll just eat the $200 million. Okay, let's start fresh. Let's tear the page out of the notebook, turn the page, whatever you want to use. Like, let's start a new era. And if you don't get a quarterback at number two, now you are the Cleveland Browns, so chances are you will be up at the top of the draft picking again. But nobody thinks like that. So, like, you've got to go get the quarterback. I mean, you know, you don't have these opportunities. Like, go get your guy.
I'm with you. If I was the Cleveland Browns, I'd just take Shedeur Sanders. I get the face of the franchise who would ease people. Like, Shedeur is good, people. Like, I don't listen. Don't believe the media hype, all right? Shedeur Sanders is going to turn an NFL team around. Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible, allaccessfootball.com. Check it out. The Twisted Tuesday continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Twisted Tuesday continues. Sports Grid Radio and Television Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Apologize for any technical difficulties with Rick Saratella there. The Rangers and the Kings, second period just started. It's scoreless at the Crypt in Los Angeles. Meanwhile, North Texas has just beaten Oklahoma State 61-59 in NIT action. And we got another close one going on, 66-64. Cleveland State Vikings up on Florida Gulf Coast right now. There's 2 minutes left. I've got over 137.5 in this game. They're at 130, but it's so close. They're going to be playing defense. It's kind of annoying. I'd prefer if they got a little bit of a lead so we can get some late fouls here. So we'll keep our eye on this basketball game. Of course, we got the Sweet 16 coming up in a couple of days. And Mo Khan steps up and in, and Mo has done play-by-play for the Montreal Alliance in the CEBL. And Mo, just last week or 2 weeks ago, I was talking online about, you know, the CEBL. I don't need to tell you, but for people tuning in, how it continues to grow and grow in credibility as well. That's an important thing. So it's being supported in the cities that it's in. I like to see more television coverage of it. I like to see more sports books. I think we'll see it more this year, but more sports books get involved and have numbers up for the games. But Mike Morreale is doing a great job building this league, and now they add the import rule where you could sign like a stud player as well, which I think is a good idea, Mo. So I want to get your take on who are some of the potential players like that they're looking at. And they've announced, which is super cool, that they're going to play an outdoor game at Jerry Park at the tennis stadium, right? So yeah, that's pretty right. Badass. That's going to look great on TV. It's a beautiful stadium. You see it for tennis. Former Jerry Park in the old days, the Expos played there, and then they turned it into a tennis complex. But you could have events there. They've had concerts there, boxing events there in the past. So now you slap a basketball court down there. I hope the weather's good, Mo, but super cool yeah. things in the CBL going on.
Yeah, and the problem is, if you know Gabe very well, late May is when we get a lot of rain in the city of Montreal. So it could be a real flip of the coin if they get great weather or off weather on that Friday night. But you're absolutely right, Gabe. The CBL starting to grow in demographics of viewerships across Canada and now in the U.S. They have international streaming deals as well overseas in Europe. And, you know, they're trying to get more of the top-end talent, as you said before, the import rule to bring in a fourth international onto rosters, which is going to help grow the game. But even right now, guys, they've sent, I think, now 50 players in the last 5-6 years of the league's existence towards the NBA, whether it's NBA contracts, G League contracts, or high-level European contracts. There's more and more guys, whether you're Canadian or international players, American or overseas, who are looking at this as a great diving board that, hey, you play the first 10, 12 games of the CEBL, you might get a look at the NBA G League. And the league has that agreement with the NBA that there could be a player X, Y, and Z who might get a look from team A, B, and C that can go down to Vegas playing that window as well to enhance their value. So this has really been a great stepping stone for a lot of American guys who want to get back to the NBA or G League for that matter.
Yeah, they've had 20 players play in the NBA, which is pretty impressive to make it, like, to, you know, play in the NBA. A good example is A.J. Lawson. Look at this dude, like, dropping serious points, too. Like, he's so unknown, it's unfortunate the books don't have props up for him. I wanted to bet. I'm like, this guy's scoring 32 points a game. What's the prop? No one's ever heard of him. But the sports books, they don't have him. They don't even have him listed, unfortunately. All right, so speaking of which, right now, still 66-64. Damn it, with a minute left. That's my problem now. It's too close. They're not going to foul. They're playing defense. And the total's 137.5. This game was sailing over, too. This is going to be a frustrating loss, potentially. Cleveland State were like 5.5-point favorites in this game for the record. So we'll keep our eye on that. We got the Sweet 16 rapidly approaching. Some fun games, some interesting matchups. Let's start off with the bottom game. We'll go late to early here on Thursday. Mo, what do you think of Arkansas and Texas Tech on Thursday night? Interesting matchup between two physically tough teams. Arkansas are getting 5.5 points, over-under is 148. What's your pick?
I love Arkansas. I mean, they've grown, guys. Think about that game against Kentucky at Rupp earlier this year. That turned their season around. And here we are looking at them maybe a game away from the Elite Eight, and perhaps two games away from the Final Four. And you look at Cal and what he's done, and you watch that St. John's game, they neutralized all their top hitters from the Red Storm offensive attack. And they rebounded. Even when they got the foul issues, they were able to rebound well enough and make clutch plays. And DJ Wagner, who we know very well, who's DeJuan Wagner's son, has done very well in his second year in the NCAA, and he's come up with clutch plays. So if Wagner plays well, I think they go even deeper than before, and they got a great matchup to get in the Sweet 16, to get Tech and perhaps now move on, which I think they will, to the Elite Eight on the weekend.
Yeah, Arkansas, guys, one of the hottest teams in the country from a betting perspective as well right now. They're 8-2 their last 10 games against the point spread as an underdog, and they're continuously an underdog all the time, and they keep on winning these games outright. And Coach Calipari as well, 10-2 in the Sweet 16. He's played in 12 games. He's won 10 of them. He doesn't lose a lot of these Sweet 16 games. I actually like Arkansas as well, plus the points in that game. Duke and Arizona. I like this Arizona team, but this is the end of the line. They're going to get buried in the desert here against Duke. Actually, technically, though, it's in Newark, this game. But Duke, listen, all Duke do are murder teams. And, you know, I guess the only thing people held against them was, well, the ACC wasn't good this year. Okay, so do something about it when you play against them. Baylor, were just way overmatched. You know, most teams are going to be overmatched. Arizona's going to try to run with them. Arizona can't change what they're going to do, guys. So Arizona are going to run with them, and Duke are just going to, you know, I said it earlier, there's going to be like 15 alley-oop dunks, bro, to Cooper Flagg in this game, like backdoor cuts, and Arizona are going to get scorched on defense. they're going to get their pound of flesh. I think they'll score. I love the over of the game. But I think Duke cover the nine, guys. What's your pick, Mo?
I agree with you. I think Duke's been smashing teams. You know, they've not had a real test probably since North Carolina in the ACC semifinal game a couple weeks ago. Beyond that, though, that was without Cooper Flagg in the lineup, right? So you look at it now, I think Arizona does not have the same quality of depth that they had maybe a couple years ago under Tommy Lloyd when he became coach back in 21-22. But, you know, they'll make it close. But I agree with you, Gabe. I think Duke's going to cover and definitely smash Arizona to get to the Elite Eight.
BYU is an interesting team right now, smoking hot. They've been hot for a couple of months. Alabama could beat anybody, but they're also vulnerable defensively. They give up 81 points a game. Total is 175.5. This is a competitive game. Paul Bogle was with us earlier. He likes BYU in this game. I like this Alabama team, but BYU can play with anybody as well. What's your pick, Cam, for BYU and Alabama?
I was leaning BYU, but you're right, Gabe. It's Alabama. If they're running and their threes are going down, they can probably take advantage of BYU. To your earlier game, I think Duke blows Arizona out. It was a nice comeback. The Wildcats got punched in the face by Oregon and then came back and won that game, but they're totally mismatched. We have Duke winning it all, so I think they murder them. But I'll take BYU in that spot. I'll take the points.
Mo, what do you think about BYU and Alabama? The over-under is 175.5. Which is incredibly high for a college basketball game, a 40-minute game. Yet nobody wants to bet the under. You know what I mean? No one's like, oh, yeah, I want to bet the under. Because you think of this game, to beat this, guys, we're going to have to get into the 90s. You know, how many points do you think you're going to need to score, Mo? Kind of like you kind of figure this game. Thing is, it's a tournament game. Things could tighten up a little bit. But yeah, you're definitely going to have to score 85-plus to win this game, like 90-plus to win this game. There's going to be points.
Yeah, this is going to be a track meet with Bama and BYU. And think about BYU, right, how that game ended with Wisconsin, right? A lot of bad blood, bad taste, people throwing bad karma at BYU and how they acted afterwards. But I just think that this might be the toughest test for Bama. And if they get past BYU, I think they will roll by Duke to get to the Final Four. And we spoke about it last week, right? I didn't think Duke would get to the Final Four. But I think Alabama has the horsepower. You look at Nate Oates, what he's built up. He's got a really good, well-coached team to go up against a good BYU team as well.
I have Alabama beating Duke in my bracket, but I regret
it.
I think Duke's going to beat him.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Moretzi. The Pips, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. So, yeah, Alabama. Mo says Alabama would roll Duke. Mm-hmm. I actually took that in my bracket, thinking that, you know, the only team that could really, if you're going to beat Duke, Alabama could be the team to do it in their bracket. You know, Arizona, I think, will give them a game a bit. Arizona will hang around. Arizona have athletes. It's Caleb Love versus Duke again, and Caleb Love played awesome. Like, so we'll see if he can stay hot. But they're just going to get killed inside. Like, overall, they're going to get beat on the glass. They're sloppy defensively, Arizona. They're not the most physical team. And that's the thing with Duke. They're talented. They play fast. They play defense a bit if they want to, but they'll just sort of outscore you anyways. But they're also tough. Like, they'll fight for balls. Like, this is a perfect, like, complete Duke basketball team. But I did agree, Mo, that like Alabama, just because of their style, bro, right? You know, if they hang 98 on you, if Duke aren't hitting some shots, like Duke are going to have to score if they play them. But mm-hmm. Duke will also score at will on Alabama, right, when they play against them. If Alabama survived this against BYU, but I think Nate Oates is a great coach. I think this is the end of the line for BYU as well. And I think it's the end of the line for the Maryland Terrapins here. Did you think that Derrick Queen traveled, Mo? That's the question I'll ask you.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
I thought he traveled too.
He did, but they're not going to call it though at that moment, right? Because they call it, think about the ramifications of what that call would have done. Colorado State wins that game. Gamblers are going crazy on that moment, right? So this the whole notion of that play happening, but it was great defending by Colorado State in that moment. It was a better shot by Queen, but the reality is he traveled. Didn't call it, and they move on, and here we are at this point of the tournament. You have to worry now for the Maryland head coach if he'll still be there win or lose, however far they go, if I go to Villanova.
Crab five crap. It was funny before. Now it's like we've reached epic proportions here. Enough. I get it.
That coach, I've never seen a coach, Mo, be so, like, try to get himself fired as much as this coach. Like, he's literally trying to pull, like, a George Costanza. Yeah. Like, at this point. Like, basically, yeah, like, I don't know what more he can say. Like, he complains about everything all the time. We don't have money. We don't stay in nice hotels, blah, blah. Our plane sucks. Like, he's constantly bitching, right? You know, he's probably going to be gone. I don't know if he thinks I got this job in my back pocket waiting. Who knows? There's been a carousel of this in the last 24 hours. But I think this is where, listen, the UConn gave them all they can handle. Florida were up the game, though. You know, they were up. They were never really panicked, Florida, until the last minute, really. I think Florida dialed it up a notch here against Maryland. Then you got Friday slate is really intriguing. Kentucky and Tennessee, Mo. Kentucky have beat Tennessee twice this year. They played twice. Kentucky beat them already twice. And Kentucky have owned them. Like, they've beaten them six of the last seven times that they played. So Kentucky has had Tennessee's number here before. Do you think the Vols can get revenge in the third time that they play this year?
So if you look at history with Rick Barnes, when he was coaching at Texas and Tennessee, this is where he starts to really choke at this point of his coaching seasons, right? The Sweet 16,
so Elite Eight. It's Barnes game. Like it's every show. We're like Rick.
Just Barnes like Brad game. Underwood. We didn't get to that, Greg Frank. How about Illinois? Great job. Great job, Illinois.
Yeah,
yeah.
You sure did that.
Great job. I'm just saying. I just called Underwood a big underachiever last week, Mo, and our boy Greg Frank made the Elite Eight last year. I'm like, so what? They made the Elite Eight once. They're underachievers. But they got smoked by Kentucky. What's that?
That's Rick Barnes for you, though, right? Like, at this point of the tournament,
I'm pulling for him because of everyone picking on him all the time.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for Rick Barnes now, as crazy as that sounds, right?
Well, let me just ask one thing. In Rick Barnes' defense, has Texas won without him since, ever?
Exactly.
No, they've never won.
But they might now, Sean Miller, right, become the coach?
I don't know.
They might have with Shaka Smart. They might have with every guy that they hire.
Blah, 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 blah. Maybe it's the players, not Uncle Rick. I'm with you, Gabe. I like Rick Barnes.
It was just sort of the overall program is who they are. But
fair enough.
Listen, I think Tennessee do dial it up here, Mo. You know, Kentucky have been on a nice run. Pope's done a great job here. We got to give him credit. But, you know, Kentucky have their flaws defensively. It won't be pretty. You know, 4.5 is a little high. You know, Tennessee aren't really built to blow you out. They're just sort of built to beat you by 4 or 5. You know, interesting number, but I'm going to stand with my boy RB. Rick Barnes gets it done here against the Pope. Tennessee wins the game.
RB.
I agree, too. But remember, this game is where in Indianapolis, right, which is almost a home game for Kentucky. Yeah. So they might add that in their favor going in on the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Vol fans travel well, though.
They took over. Vols fans can move. They're fine.
Yeah, they all froze their ass off and to watch themselves get their ass kicked. they'll go to this. So Auburn's playing in Atlanta, and you know they're another SEC team. It's sort of like Alabama. It's like Auburn South there. So Michigan's got to play Auburn in Atlanta, but I don't really care about that stuff. You know what I mean? Look, the Oregon Ducks guys played in Seattle. There were more Arizona fans. Like, it was kind of bizarre. But, you know, there were more Arizona fans in the arena. But, and also Michigan fans travel well. So, you know, if Michigan lose, it's not going to be because the game was in Atlanta. The point spread was 9. It's come down to 8.5 here. Mo, if you look metric-wise, you know, Michigan, they don't shoot the 3 very well. They turn the ball over a lot. Like, they have a lot of flaws. But they're like a baseball team that, you know, they have like a team batting average of .252, but they win a bunch of one-run games all the time. Or they're like a fighter that gets beat up like during the fight. And then somehow at the end, they win by submission in the last minute all the time. But they're getting confident. And there's one thing Michigan can do, guys. We saw this past week against Texas A&M. If May didn't really have a choice but to let them start to play a bit. Like, Texas A&M turned it into, like, a street ball game. They were running up and down the court. They were dunking. They were crashing the glass, and Michigan sort of walking up the floor and playing the half court wasn't working. And credit to Dustin May that he said, you know what? All right, let's just let him run and see what happens. And Donaldson's good if you just let him play, like instead of like confining him, right? You know, so I think they can play with Auburn. We'll break it down on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so I like how they save the best for last in the Sweet 16. Michigan at Auburn and Purdue and Houston, the main events on Friday night. But listen, Michigan are going to get murdered on the glass. This is a big concern coming into this game. Those Auburn Tigers, Mo, those guys are massive. Like they're like NFL defensive linemen, basically. Like they're all ripped. They're huge. The only thing is they do foul a lot. So yeah, it could get them into foul trouble. Golden reminds me of Jonas Valanciunas. Like, he's a big dude. He's a seven-footer and stuff, but he's not going to play some, like, you know, the Payne kid was murdering him the other night early in that game. And Danny Wolf is a very skilled player, but he's not a physical player either. So, like, Auburn, if I know this, Bruce Pearl, like, they're going to say, all right, let's just chuck it up and smash the glass on these guys and then just try to slap the ball loose. They'll turn it over. But May does a good job of coaching and navigating through Michigan's flaws. And Michigan do get, you know, Michigan have athletes on their team, right? They got Hawkeyes that can score in bunches. And we've seen this. Do you think an upset is in the making, or do you think Auburn are going to roll them?
I'm sticking with my pick from last week, guys. I had Michigan going to the Final Four. I think they were that team that was kind of fidgety midway through, and they start to peak, right? And that Wisconsin game in the Big Ten title game, I thought really cemented my belief that they can run it. And you made a great point, Gabe, right? Against A&M, it was a street fight, right? A style fight. They kind of adapted to what they had and said, okay, you know what? We'll let them tar out and we'll pull Homer Simpson, right? And win that matchup in the last minute of play pretty much. The thing with Auburn, guys, you know, they've had their hiccups in this tournament and they kind of wheezed into this tournament. And I still don't believe that they have enough horsepower to get past Michigan. I think Michigan, you're right, physically, Auburn is a far superior team on paper. But I think Michigan, with their experience that they have, think about the coach, right? Think about what they got from Florida Atlantic coming out there, Final Four experience, right? I think that is a big point of contention going towards this game here. I think Michigan does pull away with the victory to get into the Elite Eight on the weekend.
Auburn can get sloppy on the free throw line as well if you get them in a close game, right? I, you know, foul trouble, sloppiness a little bit, but they're going to be in tough. I think the total is a nice bet at 154. Because there's going to be fouls. It won't be a defensive battle. Like, Auburn are going to score. Michigan, if Michigan are playing offensively well, you know, there's a couple of versions of Michigan. We've gotten a good version in this NCAA tournament, and we got a better version against Texas A&M than we did against San Diego. But Michigan needs to just sort of let loose and not be, like, too tense. Don't be scared to shoot. I guess that's the term. But at the same point in time, guys, I'm telling you now, I think Michigan are going to be the one trying to slow this game down, right? They're not going to want, like, to run and gun, I don't think, with Auburn. Interesting matchup, though.
The longer Michigan stays in a game, the better for them. You know, as a fan, like, in a tight game, look how good Michigan is in tight games. That's the one thing they do. Like, Auburn better get up by a lot. Like, if Michigan lingers within, like, a possession, that's advantage Wolverines, in my opinion. Tight game in their first match, you saw Texas Tech was winning. They come back. Like, Michigan's great in, like, one or two possession games. They figure it out. They're very good that way.
Even 4 or 5 points. Even if it's a 4 or 5 point gap, they're still in that game.
Agreed.
Well, they set a record this year, 13 wins by 4 points or less. They won 8 consecutive games. That was a record. They won 8 straight this year at one point by 4 points or less. So, yeah, they're when a game is tied late, they're right in their wheelhouse. Like, they're not going to panic. It's stressful as a fan, though. But they just play in close games. So I would expect this game to be close. I don't think Purdue is going to be close with Houston. I think it's where Houston dials it up a notch. Purdue are a two-man team. And against the Houston Cougars, this isn't going to work, Mo. I think Houston murdered them. The point spread is 8. Normally, I like to talk myself into taking the underdog, but I can't do it here. I think the Cougars are going to murder the Boilermakers.
I agree. We had that heart and mouth with Houston against the Zags right on the weekend. Like, could it be? But I think they overcome that. And you look at this Houston team, guys, right? They've always underachieved as well, right? They go deep, 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 but they can't get over that top here. But it's set up for them now, guys, to get to the Final Four. I think they'll roll by Purdue and get into that Elite Eight easily.
Speaking of Michigan, there's a potential Michigan versus Michigan State matchup on deck with a trip to the Final Four on the line, which would be pretty cool. Michigan State have beaten Michigan pretty easily in both games that they played, I should note, this year. What do you think about Ole Miss? Be quick, Mo. We've got a couple of seconds. What do you think about Ole Miss and Michigan State?
I think Ole Miss is going to give them a good run, but I think Michigan State wins that game.
You're the dog catcher, Mo. Not a pooches.
I'm starting to buy in that Ole Miss can beat Michigan State. I'm not sold on Michigan State. Like New Mexico were with them right to the end the other night. All right. Congratulations to me and to everybody that bet on Atlanta tonight, the TGL. Fun stuff. The season ended tomorrow. We'll hit the Houston Open. Brady Cannon will be with us. Thanks to Mo Khan and all of our guests tonight. Other than that, you're on your own later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.